Labor unions are calculating that right now is the time to walk off the job. I'm David Brancaccio. More than 10,000 employees at John Deere of green and yellow tractor fame are on strike this morning for better pay and benefits. This is part of a growing list of labor actions as union members see themselves as having extra bargaining power amid a worker shortage. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here. Nova, what are the John Deere people pushing for?
Well, they rejected a contract offer that United Auto Workers representatives negotiated with John Deere that would have given workers 5 to 6% raises and improved health benefits. But the workers are pointing to the company's strong profits right now, and they say they want a better share of the financial windfall. They say they want a safer workplace too and better benefits. Specifically, pensions are a sticking point, David. They want a better system.
There are about 10 million job openings amid pandemic changes around the country. Unions are clearly emboldened by this.
They are. Even John Deere workers and their union representatives, they're talking about the fact that right now they have leverage. They feel emboldened to demand more from the company. They say they've made concessions in the past, and now they want to take some of those concessions back. A John Deere representative put out a statement saying the company is committed to a favorable outcome and will work to understand the employees' priorities and resolve the strike.
And labor actions continue in many places.
Yes. So John Deere is the big one right now. As you mentioned, more than 10,000 workers. They're spread out across 14 plants in multiple states. Easily double that number of Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers, including nurses, have authorized a strike too, but they're still negotiating in California and Oregon. Hollywood production workers are threatening to walk off film and TV sets as early as this coming Monday. They want to deal with better pay and working conditions, too. That's about 60,000 workers right there. But for now, the striking John Deere workers are getting a lot of the attention, David, and support from the likes of Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and others.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you very much. Now, how to ease a planet-wide situation where every other thing you need is back-ordered. The Biden administration announced this week that the Port of Los Angeles will now operate around the clock. The White House is also working with companies like Walmart, UPS, and Target to increase the hours when goods can come and go. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher reports.
For goods and materials to move through ports, you need people on the ground to operate cranes, drive utility tractors, fix machines. Frank Ponce de Leon with the International Longshore and Warehouse Union says there are plenty of workers willing to help the Port of L.A. operate through the night.
You know, there's availabilities there to work more and taking advantage of it, and some of our members will do that.
But there are other jobs that need to be done along the supply chain. Hitendra Chaturvedi is a professor of supply chain management at Arizona State University.
What do you do about the shortage of truckers? What do you do about the shortage of workers in the warehouses?
Chaturvedi says speeding things up at the Port of L.A. is a great first move, but
the problem has to be fixed across the entire supply chain.
And the Port of L.A. is just one stop along the way. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
Let us do the numbers. S&P and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.3%. The Dow future is up 0.4%, 144 points. London's FTSE index up 0.3%. The 10-year benchmark interest rate is up at 1.55%. Now, the interest rates you pay are indeed going up, with talk the Federal Reserve will back off some of its stimulus soon. The average 30-year mortgage rate over the last week moved above 3%, the highest in 6 months. Most of our intake of salt in America is from processed food. Too much salt is bad for you, sometimes with fatal consequences. Now the Food and Drug Administration has put out new salt guidelines for 163 foods. Condiments, cereal, chips are on the list. The idea is to cut salt by 12% within 3 years. I said guidelines, not a requirement. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has that.
Sure, the Food and Drug Administration oversees that nagging nutrition label on the back of your favorite snacks. But Corey Carter, a regulatory consultant, says most of what the FDA does is set standards.
They can say chocolate has this much cocoa fat and whatever it might be. And they can use that to define the term chocolate.
But they can't limit ingredients. And Carter says only the biggest companies will cut back because consumers' tastes are fickle and new packaging is expensive.
Unless you are going to gain market share, there's no incentive to do it.
Still, Eugene Yang at the American College of Cardiology says the recommendation could change health outcomes. A similar guideline in the UK lowered average sodium consumption by 15% and risk for heart attacks and strokes by 40%.
Even though it seems like a very modest change, the reality is that this type of intervention actually is very significant.
The recommended daily limit for sodium is 2,300 milligrams, about a teaspoon of salt. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And some of those who say they got cancer from Johnson & Johnson powder and their attorneys are very unhappy with news that J&J has declared bankruptcy, specifically on what it might owe to plaintiffs in these cases. It's about talc and talcum powder, ovarian cancer, and dangerous asbestos. Johnson & Johnson says the powder is safe, has no asbestos, but stopped selling the powder in 2020. Now, the Wall Street Journal counts nearly 35,000 lawsuits over this as of this summer. J&J's maneuver will help the company lump everything together in some future bankruptcy settlement and stops trials. This is about the talc liabilities. The Johnson & Johnson Corporation is not in bankruptcy protection, and its stock is up about 0.6% in pre-market trading now. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are J.C. Bold and Jessen Dueler. David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.